Before we get started, we got work to do. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16. We left off at verse 1 and 2. I want to go back there. But beforehand, I want to do a little bit of cleanup at Matthew 18, 21 through 35, the parable of the unforgiving servant. You don't have to turn there, but I just want to point out something. And I need to share my screen so you can see my notes. And one of the things I want to show you is in that parable. Look at 34. I got it on my screen. And his Lord was wroth. This means he was
mad.
Yes. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now the reason why I want to go back over this is, it's serious. The reason I wanted to go back over this was I was at the prison on Thursday night, and I don't know what's going on, but I had almost, I didn't count, but I must have had about 40 guys. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome. And we were going over this lesson. And one of the things that came up in that lesson, I don't know if we covered it or not, was this guy is being tormented now. He's delivered to his tormentors. Does he have a way out? Is there a way that he can avoid the torment, or is he going to be tormented forever?
He pays his bill.
He's got to pay that bill. Yeah. Pardon me?
Step number one.
Oh! Thank you. And that came out at the prison, and we didn't cover that here, and it just hit me when I was teaching them. I'm like, I don't know if we covered that, but isn't that so awesome? And maybe it hit me when I was at the prison because those are people who have made mistakes and they're being tormented. Either physically or in their mind because they've got all this guilt or this conviction or condemnation or whatever, you know. And they know they've made a mistake. All they got to do is look at their little uniforms and where they are. They know they made a mistake.
They've messed up.
And this guy messed up. And I was wondering, is there a way that he can escape the judgment that he now faces? Can he get the compassion that he once had again? And I think the answer is yes. But how do you do it? And Sandra told you, follow the steps. I still believe that if he's still above the earth and not beneath it, that if he just does step number one, humbles himself and says, I know I messed up, I need you. Two, please make that second step. There's so many people who say, I messed up. I need help. But they never repent.
No.
It's true.
I got a relative right now hitting me up. I need help. I'm like, well, what's your plan for doing better? Because you always need help.
Always big.
My plan is this. I'm like, that's no plan. That's the same plan you had yesterday. That's the same plan you had 2 decades ago. I mean, that don't you see that plan ain't working? Until you repent and change your plan and change your ways, I'm not helping you because I'm enabling you to be stuck on stupid. So give me a plan. So you repent. You put your hope once again in the king who gave you compassion the first time. But then the other thing you do is you do those things that make him proud through the Holy Spirit, power of the Spirit. You just stay there. And then step five, I bet he gets out of that situation when he gives mercy to the dude who is probably in jail with him. And I think that's how he can get out of this situation. Isn't it nice to know that after the screw up, you can still get up? So I just wanted to hit that one time. And now, for the sake of Al, let's do
Matthew 20,
1 through 16. We left off at verse 2. Let's do a quick review. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. All right. We looked at this last time, and there's some things that we brought out in this. And I did this with the inmates. I went to them as a demonstration and said, all right, let's role play this parable, this story. And I went to two of them. I said, hey, you looking for work? And they role played and said, yeah, well, we're looking for work. I said, come on, I'm going to hire you. Let's go. I want you to come work in my field. And I walked away, and I was expecting them to follow me. You know those rascals didn't get out of their chairs to follow me? I said, let me go back and let me try this one more time. I said, come on, let's go work. Mm-hmm. And they sat right there, didn't move. And I'm like, well, how come you're not getting up out of your chair and following me to work? Because ain't no good agreement, and we don't know how much we're going to get paid when we're getting out of this. I'm like, oh, okay, gotcha. And from that demonstration, I was able to share with them what we talked about last week. You got to have a relationship with God before you can go to work for him. In this parable, they have a contract, and that contract that we have is the new covenant. And through that new covenant, we do those first four steps of the feast. We got the cross, we got Jesus, we got repentance, we bury the old, we got new hope in him, in Christ, we got the Holy Spirit that leads and guides us. And now, 5, 6, and 7, we're ready to go out into the field. All right? So I just thought that was awesome. And just those two verses, it outlines the plan of God in those phases. Now, let me ask another question, because as I was looking at this, this is new stuff, as I'm looking at this, is it possible that you can go into the vineyard, all right, without him telling you? Yeah. Is it possible that when the vineyard is open for business, we can run into the vineyard without having an agreement or relationship with God?
I think so.
That is a good question. It hit me in the spirit realm.
I think you have your own strength.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean there are people?
You're not really having a relationship with God. You're doing something good. And that's what we all do. I do this stuff. When I spoke to a young man the other night about self, about where he could go, well, I'm a good person.
Yeah. All right. Well.
And they think I'm a good person, so I have the right to.
Well, praise God that you asked him the question in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yeah. All right. Send them all over there to Cloverdale. Oh, he's in Bonforce. He's in the class.
He's in Birmingham.
He can zoom in. Amen.
Okay. But anyway, yeah, people go out. I think they can go out there and not have no, you know, we go to church.
You don't have a relationship.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You know that.
I just asked a question. I know when that. I ask questions. I might not know the answer, but most of the times I don't ask it unless I do. Anthony? All right, let me ask you a question. Is there a problem, my brother? If somebody's out there working in the vineyard, but they don't have a relationship with God, but they're doing that work, is that a problem?
Well, it's not a work-based theology. You know.
So it's not work-based theology. Okay. Yes. It's a theology of faith and grace. Amen. And so if... Maybe we can put this in a parable.
Well, if you don't have the knowledge from God, and you're out there...
Uh-oh. If you don't have the knowledge and instruction from God, and you're out there, wait a minute. Look, we got a new parable here. I like this. Okay, I like what Earl just said, because I don't have this in my notes.
Writing scripture?
No, I'm expanding upon this idea. Earl says.
Earl
says,
Earl's pearls.
Might mess up something. All right, so here's the deal. Let's a new parable here. Yeah, I guess I'm rewriting some. All right. So Anthony, you got a yard, and all of a sudden you see this jackleg dude up here cutting your grass and trimming your hedges or whatever. All right, is that going to be a problem for you? Oh, well, wait a minute. He's doing the work for you. He's better. He might be saving you, you know, some time and effort. Why is that a problem in your yard?
The problem is he's going to expect something or a reward at the end.
Well, the problem is he's going to expect something
and
a reward.
Do it right.
Just like when we go out and do
Wait. Hold on. Y'all hit me with too much here. All right. Wait. So Anthony don't know him. All right, well, let me write that down, too, because y'all, we having Bible study now. All right. Thank you, Holy Ghost. All right, so Anthony says, this dude going to be expecting something, and I ain't coming to agreement with you, so you might get, you know, zap zero, all right, because I don't owe you anything. You pro bono, you know. Two, you said... who are you in my yard anyway? You casing out the joint or whatever? I don't know who you are. I don't know you. And then Earl hit it with, I'll tell you this. If somebody comes and starts cutting grass in my yard or trimming hedges in my yard, and my wife don't know about it and ain't giving them instructions because she's the yard person, and she's got split, you don't cut that grass over there, you don't do this over here, no. And you might go out there and do something wrong and mess up the yard, and oh my goodness, you got a problem with her.
I had that problem too.
Yeah, I know.
I go weed eat everything.
Weed eat, yeah, everything gets cut. Ah. Yeah. That's in the natural. Can you imagine? No, I'm cured of the grass now. Yeah, I'm past the grass now. But
just kidding.
No, I got to give you an update on the grass.
Grass in the
street. Yeah, I got to give you an update on grass in the street. But that's in the natural. Think about what you just said in the spiritual realm. One, you're out there in the field, but you didn't get the instructions from God, and you really don't have a good relationship with God. But you're out there doing the work. One. You might be expecting something because now it's not a works-based religion. Two, you might mess somebody up out there in the field because I think it's Acts chapter 19 where the sons of Sheba went in there and tried to cast out a demon
and beat him
butt naked and ran him out the house. So you might get hurt and you might hurt somebody else because there's no hurt like church hurt. And then the bigger tragedy perhaps is this. When you're standing in line for your reward and you got the sheep and the goats and you wind up in the goat line and he says to you, I don't know you, never knew you. And you say, but I did this in the vineyard and I did this in the vineyard, and I did this in the vineyard. But whatever you did in the vineyard, you didn't do it for me. It's a false sense of security built upon self-righteousness, which is why we are not by works, we are by grace. You got to do the grace part first before you do the works. You can't put the cart before the horse. You can't put the chicken across the other side until he gets on from run. I must get something different or whatever. That was a train wreck. All right. The chicken got to come out of the egg before it crosses the road. All right, he's got to go in order. What do you got, Kim?
I can see another side of that coin, though. Even though the worker isn't in the field because he's been called to by God.
Right.
But there are a lot of people that know the Bible backward and forward, but they don't have a relationship with God.
There's a lot of people that know the Bible backward and forward and don't know God.
I can see the power of the word enough to know that even if the person who is talking the word doesn't have a relationship with God, that somebody can still hear the word and be changed because the Holy Spirit can still, because our God is that great and the word is that powerful.
Yeah.
And so I know that the worker is going to have a day of reckoning.
Yes.
It is a danger.
So what Carolyn is saying is, even though the person may not have a really right relationship with God, if they speak the word or do the word, there's a possibility that God could use them for their benefit nonetheless.
Use the word.
Okay. Use the word or that to the benefit. Okay, gotcha.
Matthew 22:14. For many are called,
but few are chosen. Got it. Yep. All right. So I want to go back to Carolyn's observation.
There's a scripture somewhere. I don't know where it is. Where I think Jesus says, "Hey, don't worry about them as long as they're preaching the word."
Yeah.
I don't know exactly.
Yeah. Now, the disciples said, came and said, "Hey, you know, we saw this guy. He's not with us, and he was casting out demons and preaching the word." And he said, "Hey, you know, if he's not against us, then he's with us. But you still got to have a relationship to demonstrate that kind of power. So just because they don't go to your church or not in your same denomination, that doesn't mean they're not doing the work of the Lord." You know, let me address it from this perspective. I still say that is a very, very dangerous condition for the person to be in. However, there are examples in the Bible where that has happened, what she just described. One, Moses was supposed to speak to the rock, but he struck the rock because he got frustrated and stepped out of alignment with God for a minute or whatever. Did God still bless the water coming out of the rock? Yes, he did. Did the people get refreshed? Yes, they did. Did the people get blessed? Yes, they did. But Moses suffered some serious consequences as he paid a cost. There's another example. Balaam, in the Bible, the prophet of God, he was trying to do preaching for filthy lucre or for money or whatever. And he gave a word or whatever that blessed the people of God. But the donkey had to talk to him first. And so did the people get blessed too? Did Balaam pay a cost? Oh, absolutely. He paid a cost. And let's bring this up today. I know there's some churches out there, because I've been a part of some of them, and the leadership or whatever, the folk or whatever, may not have been in alignment with God. Self all up in there. But still a miracle occurred. Still a word was preached, whatever, blah, blah. And the church is in turmoil or whatever, maybe in turmoil, and people are scratching their heads wondering, well, what happened? Because the miracles were appearing and, you know, people were, you know, well, it could be because people who do have a relationship with God are still praying, and God honors those prayers. That's why you pray for your leadership or whatever, whether they're moving by the power of the Holy Spirit, whether they're moving by a political party or whatever. I still pray for them because, one, we're called to pray for them, and two, maybe our prayers might still produce something that God will honor, even though they may not be honoring God. Yes, sir.
Couldn't this possibly lead to hypocrisy? In other words, somebody's talking the talk, but they're not walking the walk.
It is hypocrisy.
I think that's where a lot of the millennials and the younger folks are saying, you know, organized religion is just, you know, it's one thing, but they're seeing another thing.
Oh, it is exactly like this. We can hear you. Oh, okay. Thank you, Sandra. I think it does. That's the danger behind it. So you don't want to operate like that, where you send people who don't have the relationship out and throwing some word out there. Because one, they might throw out the wrong word. They might throw out, because the devil knows the word too. And then the next thing you know, hey, you know, the man is the head of the household. And then I see these little, you know, nuts running around. I'm the head of the household, and you got to submit to me, and you got to do my will, blah, blah, blah. Okay, wait a minute. The man is the head of the household, but the man is also the priest of the house, and priests serve. Huh. All right.
I served yesterday a lot.
All right, so let's go through the rest of the parable. That was a good aside. I thought about that. I'm like, you could be working, and here's the problem: when you're working in the field and he didn't tell you to go there, or you don't have a relationship with him, you're not working for him. You are working for yourself, which means you still ain't humble, and you still ain't right relationship, and you're still going to be the GOAT. And I don't mean the greatest of all time. You're just going to be...
I'm going to be a Tom Brady.
You ain't going to be a Tom Brady. Not at all. You're going to be one of them other guys that was a bust or whatever. You know, but anyway. All right, so we know that the man is the homeowner. We know what the vineyard represents. It's that field, the harvest. We know who the early morning workers are that are. Well, let me ask that question. Who are the early morning workers? You don't have to answer, but think about that. Who do the workers represent? Carolyn back there just smiling like a jack-o'-lantern. Just smiling.
I was just thinking of, like, food and
Harper,
because I start doing things at, like, 5 in the morning.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Absolutely. So the early morning worker, they're putting their work in. All right, so it's those of us who put that early work in. There you go. All right, now, you know, the Jewish day starts at 6 a.m. It goes to 6 p.m. So we're talking 6 o'clock in the morning, at least early in the morning. Guys out to work. All right, now, new stuff. There you go, Al, new stuff. All right. And he went out about the third hour, that'd be about 9 o'clock, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. We just have introduced another element. We got some other workers, and they're idle. And they're in the marketplace. Unemployed in the marketplace. And, you know, that vineyard thing threw me off because I didn't have that in my original notes. And now all of a sudden we got this marketplace in here. And I said, well, if I pause to figure out what the vineyard is, I need to pause and figure out what the marketplace is. What happens? In fact, I'm going to do this now. There's a new element. Marketplace. Oh, there you go. A marketplace is introduced. What happens in the natural in a marketplace? I think I heard Sandra say it. Trading, buying and selling.
Trading,
buying, and selling. So basically, it is a a place where there is an exchange or place of, I like that, of business. Woo! All right. So in the natural, I know this is going to be a three-weeker. All right. In the natural, in the natural, because I keep getting new stuff, in the natural, he goes out. He's already got some workers. But he goes out again to get some more workers who are standing idly by doing nothing, but they're in the marketplace, a place of exchange and trading. All right? And said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard. I got some work for you. And whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. So, still got an agreement. Still got a relationship. Still got a promise. Still got a contract, verbal contract for wages. Amen. Or word. He finds them in the marketplace and sends them out. That's in the natural. Follow me here. He's already got some workers. He goes to get more workers. Mm-hmm. He finds them not doing anything in the marketplace. A place of trading, a place of business, a place of exchange. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And he makes the same agreement with them, and they go to the the vineyard. That's in the natural. Somebody tell me, do you see the spiritual application up in here? Because I just saw it about 40 seconds ago.
Well, that's what Juanita said. Many are called, but few are chosen.
Many are called, but few are chosen. So one of the things here is, what happens if they, what happens if they don't obey? Because there are still people out there who get the invitation to come to, or get the invitation for a relationship, but they still don't go to work. Oh, here's one. They get the invitation, they have the relationship, but they still don't go to work. And I know it's based upon grace, but after grace comes, you got to put that work in. Because faith without works is
dead.
Hungry.
The first is last, and the last is first.
And then,
I think Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat.
Yeah,
you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah. Does anybody see anything else?
The fields are wide unto harvest, and the workers are few.
Why are the workers few?
Because we're not obedient.
All right. So, as Susan said, so you can have the invitation.
Right.
They went there.
And relationship.
We don't know if they went to the vineyard or not.
Well, we're going to assume they went to the vineyard here, but I'm doing the what if. So you can have the invitation and relationship and still not go to work.
Right, right.
And why I'm asking that is that evident in our Christianity today?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I know the word. I got my relationship. On my way to heaven, and I'm so glad.
Mm-hmm. I'm done.
I'm dead. I'm good. I got my fire insurance, and you know, as long as every man for himself. And won't put that work in.
Yeah.
All right. So you reject the second part. And then some people don't, you know, just hard headed, they ain't going to get it anyway. There's something else I want you to see here. And Juanita, I'm so impressed with what you said today. The most impressive thing you said, though, that thing about Al beating you up, it was kind of funny, too. And that thing about you serving you as the priest, that's pretty good. You jumped on that real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He always reminds me.
Yeah.
Yes, what would you say?
I'm getting some reward points now for heaven.
There you go.
You get reward points. You might not be able to cash them in until you get to heaven, though, but anyway. But the thing that most intrigued me about your words and comments today was you were speaking to a young man.
Yes.
And you were trading and exchanging. And when I saw the marketplace get introduced, the householder, the king, keeps going to the marketplace to trade and exchange that word so that he can bring others into the field. And if we're disciples of the king, we are going to have, in order for us to get more workers into the field, in order to reach the world, we're going to have to go to the marketplace, the place where they are standing idle, and we need to exchange what we have to get them to come into relationship with the king and then go to work. Yes, Paul.
Okay, this is the Chamber of Commerce person speaking.
All right.
Marketplace. It's like the business community.
Yes.
Where you work.
Yes.
How you conduct your business in that environment.
Yes.
Will determine whether somebody will be attracted.
Ah,
or somebody will say, you're just a bunch of hypocrites.
Right.
You know, Sunday you say one thing, but then during the week, how you practice and how you do your job and how you negotiate and do your trades and exchanges and all that, and how you do your business.
Yeah, good one.
You'd never know that you were a Christian.
Yeah.
And I see that a lot.
That's just tough, yeah.
I'm just writing. Oh, my goodness. Which goes back to the new item that we introduced at the beginning. If I'm in the field, in the marketplace, doing the recruiting or hiring for my business or whatever, all right, and I don't have the right relationship with God, I am not going to be able to attract the people that God wants me to attract in, because I'm now working against the kingdom because I'm not in alignment with him and I become a hypocrite. And Paul is absolutely correct. Most of the young people, well, they ain't got to be young. Most of the people that I come across will tell me, well, I ain't there because they're just a bunch of hypocrites and they're doing what I'm doing here. So what is church going to do for me? Hypocrites, they do damage to the kingdom, yet they know and it may have a relationship with God, but they're blind. I mean, you can mess this up.
Yes.
Now, as I looked at the marketplace, remember what Jesus said. Son, we've been looking all over for you. You weren't where we expected you to be. Your dad and I have been running around worried, sick about where you are. We expected you to be here with the caravan. We expected you to be here over there, and we didn't see you. We can't find you. Where you at? And his response is, did you not know that I would be about my father's business in the temple, in the house, in the marketplace, sharing the wisdom and word of God to others? Where should we be found? I'm so proud of you, Juanita. I got convicted as soon as you said it, because I got to figure out when the last time I went to the marketplace. That's why this word is so powerful, and he's not done with us yet, because we know him. We got this word. This word's going to help somebody, but it will do nobody any good unless we go to the marketplace on behalf of the king and share this wonderful gospel and say, there's some work to do. Why are you standing here idle?
Yeah.
And you know what? You'll be in the marketplace as long as you're alive.
Jesus is rarely where we expect him to be.
Yes. And Paul just said something. This is for from Anthony all the way down to those of us who got heads that look like dandelions.
Who's he talking about?
The good place is always open as long as you are still on the earth.
Amen. Yes, yes.
I don't care whether you're disabled or whatever it is. You got a word inside of you, and the marketplace is not, because this is a physical story that tells of a spiritual application, all right? And so it's not necessarily logistically where I need to be. When the marketplace comes around me, or when somebody could, because, you know, you ain't got to get to the marketplace. Sometimes they got the little carts that'll come in your neighborhood.
It never closes.
And it never closes. There's always a work while it, thank you, Oli. Work while it's still day.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, Satan uses a four-letter word for a lot of Christians that won't go out and do that. But like when you have a visitation,
okay,
at a church, you don't visit people, whether these are either been to your church,
yeah,
or you want them to come because you know them or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can't get the two people in a whole church to go on visitation because you tell the other ones, and they just act like, I can't do that. You know, the heck you can't. You stand there like me and Paul and talk like maniacs, but we can't go out there and talk to somebody about Jesus. Come on now. So fear, if you know, you ask somebody.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now we're bouncing into another parable, because, you know, they got the parable of the talents that we haven't got to yet. I'm not sure if that's in Matthew or not, but I hope it is, because I wanted to get to it. We're going to do it anyway. But, you know, if you... Well, here you go. I put a little video out there on Facebook about my motorcycle. So my windshield and my motorcycle broke. And I called Harley, the brick and mortar place, you know, and said, hey, I'll come down there or whatever. You got a new windshield for me. He says, it's going to take 2 weeks for the windshield to get here. I'm like, wow, I'd like to have my windshield now. I mean, I can still ride the bike without it, but, you know. And I said, well, he started ringing it up. I'm like, oh, okay. I said, you ringing it up. How much is that going to cost? $159 before tax.
To get it today?
No. Still get it in 2 weeks.
No, 2 weeks.
And it's just a piece of plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, brick and mortar ain't working for me.
Yeah.
So I called Amazon. I got online. I went to Amazon. All right?
Next day.
And Amazon, not close there. Or not close. Today. I got 2 days with Amazon. I never signed up for Prime. I've been delaying Prime. And all of a sudden it said, if you try Prime out for 30 days, you can get it in 2 days.
Yeah. And free shipping.
And free shipping. Thank you. But I got somebody been in the marketplace. And free shipping. My windshield is on my bike. New. $31.98. With tax. With free shipping. On my bike, and I'm like, I'm saying, you know, Harley Davidson probably just lost themselves a customer.
Yes.
So, the marketplace, the marketplace is not always brick and mortar. The marketplace is any place on your computer, on your phone, or any place where there's people being idle, you run across some idle people, that's your marketplace.
It's interesting, you'll see a sticker, Christians. Bumper sticker on the car, and the person's cussing somebody out because, you know.
Well, see, Paul's stuck on that hypocrite stuff, and I understand because I wrote down that Chamber of Commerce. I might have to put it in my notes or whatever. Because how you do business is going to be whether you're going to attract somebody or not. So you must have that good relationship with God, or you'll be in the marketplace just killing folk.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody following you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why should I follow you? I just saw what you did on Friday. You out here in the marketplace on Sunday? No. All right. Oh, we got to at least get to verse 5. We can't be doing two verses. It's 16 verses today. We can't be doing two verses a Sunday. All right, let's move on. I'll stop the
Holy Spirit. Be with you.
Discussions are great.
Oh, me talking to Al, I can do that, you know, on somebody else's time. All right, anyway. All right, here we go again. again. He went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. Mm-hmm. And about the 11th hour, now, that's like
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. It's quick time. It's almost quick time, right?
Overtime.
Oh, see, there is no overtime. All right. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, mm-hmm. and said unto them, here's the question. Why stand ye here all the day idle? And they actually answered him, which is good. Because sometimes you ask questions, people don't answer. You know they stuck on stupid then. All right. They said unto him, because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. Verse 5, first word, again. Why does he go out again? That field must be pretty big if he's got to keep going out. That field must be pretty big if he's still going out. And he keeps, and you, do you see process in here? I see process. He did likewise. It's the same consistent process over and over and over again. It works.
Carol. Just another strange perspective. I guess that's my goal in life. But that it's, I just think there's, they even came out at the 11th hour and there were still people in the marketplace willing to work. They hadn't gone out.
Still people in the marketplace available that will work. Still, that should encourage you.
That's what I was saying. That's what just hit me. They're still waiting for someone to, they're still willing to work at the 11th hour. They, you know, other people have already gone home because they've given up on somebody that called.
Woo! Whoa. Still.
He going to work.
Or it could be the age of people too. The 11th hour could be us old people, and we still need to get out there.
We're going to get to that.
We're not too old.
But I did feel strictly that they were still willing to work. They were just waiting to get home.
Well, you know, I heard that sometimes there are times that people don't go to church because nobody's asking them.
True.
Bless you.
That's true. I like that, Paul.
I you know, Paul, I must echo what you're saying here. I am enjoying this conversation and interaction. As we've been talking, I got my notes, and the Spirit is just moving. Yeah. Yeah, and I ain't got to have them windshields that you got. To
yeah, but you get the happy cyclist with bugs in your teeth.
remind us where we are. We stopped at verse. Well,
five, six.
Yeah, 5, 6, and 7. So we'll go back and we'll clean this up. But the comments that were made are just powerful. Thank you, Carolyn, Paul, Anita. Just they're still there. And I like what Paul said. In essence, as long as we're alive, the marketplace is still open. Our work does not end until the day is done.
Chuck, you're a good example of that because you play basketball.
Right.
You play racquetball.
Yes.
Those are marketplaces.
They are.
Those young guys you play with.
Yeah.
Of course, the racquetball guys aren't so young.
Right.
You know, I don't know. You don't know how many are just waiting to be asked.
Sometimes, God is so powerful. Sometimes you look at this and you think, well, you're so old, you must already have God. might be true. And sometimes you go, man, the marketplace is so crazy, ain't nobody coming to church anymore. You know, they hitting up on Zoom, they're doing this, that, and the other, or whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, who am I? Who am I?
You talk yourself out of it.
You know, and you talk yourself out of it while the king is trying to talk you into it. Let me just write that down. Be encouraged. And you can talk yourself out. Thank you, Carolyn. That was good. That was an interesting perspective. There are still people out there willing to work. They have not been totally damaged by the hypocrites. There's still people out there willing to work. And he keeps going out there looking for workers. Like Susan said, the fields are ripe. It's a big field. It's a big field. And the king needs workers in his field. Isn't it awesome that God in his awesomeness allows us to participate in the business? The family business.
Want anybody to perish.
Yep.
Chuck, the workers are Christians, right?
Yes.
The harvest is the people that need to come into the kingdom.
Absolutely.
People standing around idle are Christians who should be working, but just haven't been called to the harvest.
They could be, good point. Yeah. They could be Christians. They could be workers that haven't been called. Is it possible that there might be some folk in the world as well?
Makes me think it's not, because I don't think God would call you to work until you have a relationship.
Well, you got to have a relationship, so maybe there's some other people in the world, all right, mm-hmm. that show up at the marketplace.
Saul was in the world.
Yeah.
And he got called, but now he got called by Jesus.
Right.
But look what he's done.
Yes.
Yeah.
He wasn't a Christian.
But no.
He got changed.
He changed.
Yeah. But he was very religious.
Yes. Yeah, that bright spot changed.
And I guess you could call him a great hypocrite in his religion. Because if you got a religion where God is love and you're participating in the persecution of God's people, I think you're a little off somewhere.
Yeah.
All right. I got to get out of here. Al?
Yes, sir.
Pray us out, if you would, sir.
Yes, sir. Our Heavenly Father, Lord and King of Kings, thank you.